Now on News Talk as part of Documentary on News Talk, Prejudice and Pride, Gay Travellers in Their Own Words.
According to the 2011 census, approximately 30,000 travellers live in Ireland, and it is safe to estimate that many hundreds are LGBT+. In the following programme, six gay and lesbian travellers tell parts of their story. At the request of three of those people, their contribution will be spoken by actors, and some names have been changed.
My name is Owen Tipordune. I'm originally from Tuam in Galway. I suppose traveller culture is reflective, very different to each individual who actually happens to be a traveller. My understanding of traveller culture is something that I would suppose it's been a very active inheritance from my family and from my community. And it's something actually I find quite puzzling that people have a lot of negative associations with. Violence. I think violence would be the strongest one, or the lack of social conscience. You know, and this idea of travellers take from the state, and travellers are incredibly violent, and travellers don't care about anyone who isn't a traveller, and travellers steal, and kind of going, well, settled people do this, and kind of travellers do this, or people do this. And those interpretations have a real effect on travellers' lives, because you have an option: do you start fulfilling that stereotype in order so you fit into the groove, or do you go against it and constantly have your self-esteem and sense worth challenged by people who do not know you? It's damaging. It really is damaging. I think at times that we're not always consciously aware of the damage, but it's very much there. I think there's a lot of silence around sexuality, that the discussion of it is seen as being very almost sinful. And I suppose I started my journey of slowly, very slowly coming out, or forever coming out, around the age of 17. But it was very, very overly protective. And it's unfortunate, I think, that the early years when I should have been absolutely blossoming, that I was kind of put in that, for no direct fault of any individual, but I suppose the system, to experience those challenges. Rejection. But my fear of rejection wasn't actually just rejection by the immediate family. My understanding of family isn't just my unit, it would be actually my community. Being from a minority within that meant possibly that I had no safe place, because if home was not safe, there was nowhere to go. People, I suppose, on a general sense, would go, if I come out, I will be possibly rejected by my family. For people within the tribe community, family has a slightly different concept. It's not just your immediate unit, it's your entire community, across the board, the nation, across the waters, everything. It is incredibly fearful to realise, going, imagine if you didn't actually have any support structure. Where would that leave me? I know too many stories, actually, of people who've gone through those traumas. And a lot of people end up just severing connections with the community because of the potential hazards to their mental and emotional well-being, and either leave the country or go into self-seclusion. Total and utter dissociation from the community by their family. I think I can count on one hand the amount of travellers who are proactively out. People might be out in a very passive sense. Majority will go to England or across the border, distancing themselves from the immediate, I suppose, social structure and family, because there is still a perceivement of shame. And very few people ever hear that it's genuinely okay to be gay, and then it's genuinely okay to be a traveller, and it's okay to be a gay traveller. What exactly does gay mean? They're again labels. I'm a big fan of big movements, but it doesn't replace kindness and an open conversation that really allows you to experience people rather than the label. At the end of the day, we are all just individuals. Around 2009, was after a series of suicides from people that I was quite close to, we found a kind of LGBT PAVI discussion group and a support group. And that actually was quite a positive focus. It's an online, well, predominantly online support group. We have things like monthly meetings, and once every 2 months we have social gatherings, and we have peer-to-peer support. And it's all about creating safe places where people don't have to explain their identity or defend it. We're talking about family. We're talking about people that you know and you love. And if you kind of can't provide them actual support, how cruel is it to your family and people that you love that you would deny people that harmony and that support? Thank you. And I do think that those kind of worries, concerns are a high contributing factor to our shocking suicide rates and acts of self-harm that do not always terminate life.
I have buried too many friends. But I actually have buried too many friends not to go, listen, when do we draw the line? Every day there are people who are suffering, agonizing in situations that we say, oh, that is so horrific, but do not do anything about it. People should be angry. People should be angry that we are burying beautiful people. That is a horrendous scar on our society as a whole. I am exhausted of burying my friends.
My name is Joe. On this Christmas day, I'm telling my story of what life was like for me being a gay settled traveller. We all get lonesome at this time of year for loved ones who've passed away, like my brother who took his own life. Suicide is prevalent in our community. I know not all suicides are because of being gay, but I think that many is for that reason. The fear of being disowned. Travellers are already in a minority, so if our own family or community rejects us, we have nowhere to turn. I myself attempted suicide many times. If there are any parents listening, that's why I'm telling my story, in the hope that travellers will accept and support their sons and daughters' sexuality. As a child growing up in a settled community and being the only traveller on my road, it was very hard for me and my brothers to go to school. But we did go to school, I even went on to secondary. Back then, we were always last in line because the others, like, they would think that they would catch knacker germs, which is still probably going on today. I remember Christmas growing up, I'd always want Barbies and buggies, and my dear mother always got them for me. I was obsessed with the Eurovision. That's when I was in my element. We moved to the country and I had to leave my Barbies behind and try to be someone I'm not. I remember writing to this agony aunt when I was 14. Her advice was great. I had a few failed relationships with women who I wasn't attracted to, you know, just trying to be someone that I'm not. Eventually, after many suicide attempts, I taught my dad. It was like a scene from EastEnders. Me crying, saying I had to tell him something, so I said, Dad, I'm gay. And as cool as a breeze, he said, Son, I've always known that. Well, my mom always accepted me, but it was harder for him. He eventually did. But after that, things changed a lot for me with family and friends. A lot of straight guys who were my friends, they were kind of ashamed. I lost a lot of my cousins because they thought I was bringing shame on the family. I was the first openly gay traveller in my town. I'm a minority in a minority. One thing to get clear is I was born gay. You don't just turn gay. It's how you're made. Travellers, we've always been discriminated against for just being ourselves. We didn't choose to be a traveller and you don't choose to be gay. We're all human. The point I'm trying to get across to everyone is a mum and dad's love should be unconditional. If you're gay and afraid to come out, and if your family or anyone has a problem with you being gay, just remember it's their problem, not yours. And to any parents that's listening, if you think your child is gay and they won't say it, ask them about it and ensure them that your feelings won't change even if they are gay. I'm happier now that I'm not living a lie and pretending to be something that I'm not. Back when I was a teenager, I would have never have dreamt of marriage equality. Now my friends have families of their own and all I want for Christmas is a family of my own.
My name is Mark Donoghue. I'm a member of the traveller community. I always knew there was something different about me, but I never really took much notice of it until I was about 15 when I realised that I was gay. that I need to accept this or else it's going to drive me mad. When I turned around about 16, I started going out with girls because the pressure, the peer pressure from my cousins and friends was they had all girlfriends, so I had to have one. Around the age of 17, I actually started to get more and more pressure. My cousins and friends, who were, some of them were getting married, some were going out with long-term girlfriends, and there was me. I had no girlfriends, I had no interest in girls. I couldn't keep up the pretense anymore, so I got more and more introvert. I sort of hid myself away initially from my friends and cousins and family events. It actually done me harm in a way. I lost most of my teenage years, which is a shame, all those years. And then at the age of 20, I started working for a travel organization as a community development worker. I actually came out to one of my colleagues, but it was such a release telling her that I was gay, and she was so supportive. That boosted me. And then we started going out to all, you know, bars and so on, colleagues, workmates, my brothers and sisters, you know, Friday night karaoke in the local bar. And this particular night, there was this guy, he was singing a Stephen Gately song. And Stephen Gately, it was around the same time that he came out, which had a profound effect on me. It actually made me think about wanting to come out. I was thinking about coming out to family. So this guy got up and sang, and then he was saying, oh, just because I'm singing this song doesn't make me gay. And he was doing all these gestures. It was pure homophobia. So I put my head down, so just not knowing where to look. So my brother, he got up, he got to the stage, and to my surprise, he actually turned around over the microphone to this packed bar and more or less scorned the last guy who was coming out with all this homophobia. And he says there shouldn't be this homophobia in this day and age. There should be respect to people of other sexualities. And so he came out with this out of the blue. So a couple of weeks down along the line, I invited brothers and sisters, a couple of colleagues and friends back to my apartment after the pub. So a girl came back. My brothers were pressuring me if I was interested in this girl. And they kept at it and kept at it. And I says, no, I'm not interested. I'm too tired. I was getting all these excuses. And then I just said all of a sudden, I'm not interested in her. I'm gay. I stood up in front of the whole lot and said, I'm gay. And I just walked out my living room door and up the stairs to my bedroom. And I thought, oh, that's it. They're all just going to leave. That's me ostracized. But one after the other, all my brothers and sisters came up and says they loved me and that I was still their brother and nothing would change that. It was like a weight lifted off my shoulders. I didn't tell my mother until a couple of weeks later when I got locked out of the apartment. I had to go back up to my mother's and I climbed up because nobody was answering the door. I got in my drunken state, peeping my head around the corner to see if mother was awake. She got up, says, what's wrong? Says, I locked myself out. Says, okay. By the way, you know that boy that you're hanging around with, that traveler boy? I says, right, what about him? Says, you may not want to be hanging around with him. That boy's a bit funny. Says, funny? She says, you know what I mean, funny. You don't want to get yourself a name. I says, well, mother, I'm a bit funny too, and I don't care if I get a name because I am funny. She's sat even more up in her bed and she was like shocked. I didn't come out to my father till 10, 12 years later because my mother told me on that night, don't tell your father, it'll kill him. So the guy that actually my mother actually spoke about turned out to be my first boyfriend, who is from a large, prominent traveller family. When I started going out with him, I told my sisters. My sister Laura turned around and says, well, that's funny, because I'm just finished a 9-week dedication prayer that you would actually find another gay traveller. I don't know still if whether it was because of our prayer or not, but we'll never know. I was going out with him for 11 years, but we broke up. But he's still my best friend. As a community development worker within a traveller organisation, after a while, like, people realised right throughout the traveller community that I was gay and I did not hide it. I'm not saying everything's rosy within the traveller community when it comes to being gay or lesbian, but I've had a good experience in terms of coming out to my family. When my father found out, because of my brother's big mouth, I was quite cross. It's only in the last couple of years that we actually had conversations about being gay, and even about gay adoption, which was quite surprising, because I always had this want for children. And he mentioned one day about gay people adopting all the time, which is quite good. Myself and my brother having a conversation with him about gay pride and the significance about gay pride. It was only a short conversation, but still, you know, it was nice. There's good and bad. Again, it depends on the family. It's just like within the settler community. It is about how your family will react. I've only had two homophobic remarks from within the traveller community. The only homophobia that I've experienced was from within the settler community. I remember myself and my ex being beaten up or queer bashed. My ex was knocked out. They gave him a scar across the head. They took his phone, took his wallet. They stamped on my head. They left me head to toe in blood. He woke up out of being unconscious and he saw me in a pool of blood, head to toe. He thought I was dead. I had to have staples in the back of my head, stitches all around my eye. There was a foot mark, a footprint across my face for a couple of weeks. It's quite horrific. So that happened again after that. And it happened to my ex again after that when he was by himself. And they were clear homophobic remarks said, calling queers, calling faggots. It's not all rosy within the traveller community. I know some travellers who actually hide the fact that they're gay. I know there's some travellers who come from traditional families who had arranged marriages and are gay. I know of other travellers from traditional families where they are afraid to come out. One guy had to change his name and move from one end of the country to the next. Other stories about a lesbian couple, which I won't go into. There were horrific stories about that.
I don't want to say my name. I'm not sure what to say about myself being gay and from the traveller community. It's hard to talk about it. If I could call it a feeling, I'd say numb. You're not allowed to feel it, in my family at least. My family choose to ignore the fact that I'm gay. If the subject comes up on TV when I'm in the room, then the TV's turned off. And whenever I go to my uncle's house, he takes the children out of the room. I've spent most of my adult life medicated for depression and social anxiety. I'm an outsider to settled people because I'm a traveller, and I'm an outsider in my own community because I'm gay. I've been in a few short relationships that went sour when they found out I was a traveller. Gets to a stage where you don't want to try anymore. Although, in the back of your mind, you do want to try more than anything. Lately, I got close to a guy and thought I should tell him I was a traveller. But when I told him, the first thing he said was, "Oh, I don't mind that at all. A few knackers lived up the road from us." But then he realised what he said and changed it to travellers. My stomach turns when they talk about equality. It's always on their own terms, and half the time people only mean equality for some people, but not for everyone. And religion is an excuse for homophobia. Jesus never said anything about gay people. They know he never said anything about it, and they still use it as an excuse for their own prejudice.
You're listening to Prejudice and Pride on News Talk 106 to 108.
The very first time I went to a gay bar, I didn't gain access to it. Now, I never knew the reason why you don't get any access. I must have been 19. I walked by you about 100 times with the heart going and going, do I go in or do I not go in? Went to the door and was like, nope, can't come in. And there wasn't any discussion of it, there wasn't any reasoning behind it, but my reaction was, oh my God, do they know? Now, my common experience would be that most people get in to a place like that, so I've never understood why I haven't got in. If we all have rites of initiation, especially coming out, like your first time to a pub or to a gay bar, your first kiss, all the thing. It's a pity the first time I attempted that, it was denied. Very, very first person I told I was gay was my sister. And it was very, very late in the night, very, very late. And we ended up sitting up and I just said, like, I'm gay. And there was this silence of, right. Don't think she heard me. So I said, I just want you to know that I'm gay. And she said, that's really okay. And she kissed me on the forehead and she said, it's fine. And we talked about different things. And we talked about my parents and family and the community. And she was very defiant, like going, that doesn't matter. I love you. It doesn't really matter what people think. You have to live your own life. And then the next day, there was nothing. And the day after, there was nothing. And the day after, there was nothing. And this went on for quite some time. She had convinced herself that night that was a dream. 3 months later, we were sitting in her car driving through town, and this guy comes out, cuts across the traffic, and she said, oh, did you hear? He's a queer. And then she goes, oh, I'm so sorry. Having to challenge those things as you go along and having to go, actually, the people you were talking about, the community you're talking about, it's me. I'd have a father who would not discuss it, and I'd have a sister who would be very supportive, but very distant for other reasons. This Wednesday, after 8 years with my partner, my sister is going to come and visit. It's been such a long time, after 8 years, for a member of the family to go, listen, I want to meet this person. And I actually am nervous of the realisation that going, it's 8 years. It's eight lost years. And that's very emotional. And it is a horrific pity, but I'm also excited and hopeful. I don't always think it's the big things. I think it's those subtle things that make the larger challenges more agreeable, like people not blinking at the understanding that you might have a partner, people actually inviting the other person. I think those subtle things can be far kinder. It's like comments on, like, are you married? It's like, oh, no, not just yet, not just yet. And what's she like? Oh, actually, he. Silence.
As John mentioned earlier today, it was announced that the referendum on same-sex marriage will be held in the first week of May next year. The decision was taken by the Cabinet at its last meeting.
I was incredibly nervous. I had the real clear realisation that what we were actually asking people to do wasn't just go and vote and go and vote yes and celebrate people, but was kind of going, I'm actually inviting you to come judge my life.
And that actually quite disturbed me, that I saw all these campaigns, I saw all these promotions, I saw all these wonderful speakers, and what we're actually doing is come and judge my life. And that really changed the tone for me. How bizarre is it to feel that you're going, listen, I want to be treated as you are, so I'm actually asking you, inviting you, and pleading with you at times to come actually and judge me. And I found that horrific. It actually was ordinary people having ordinary lives, just wanting to have ordinary rights. Nothing special, nothing new. It's just the idea of how radical it would be if we actually were all held equal. Imagine equality. Some people did vote, some members of my family didn't vote at all. But yeah, God, it's really serious. We looked at the world and said, hello world, how much do you value people? And I'm happy how it turned. And it did turn, and it was such a, it really was a relief. It was absolutely such a relief. So we had, until last year, a housemate. He was a wonderful housemate, and he had an old car that was parked in the front garden. And we had been having trouble with a few neighbourhood kids, you know, like egging the house, ringing doorbells and stones and kind of stuff. And the comments were said were very, very homophobic, and it continued for quite some time. And someone one day scratched a fag onto the side of the car. Other people were not taking it serious, and I was taking it very serious. Then, probably around 3 months after that, the same guys put petrol on the car and burnt it in the front garden. So obviously we rang the fire brigade and the police came, and they moved the car because the car was parked very, very close to the front door. At the time I felt frightened. That is scary, that things like that can happen very openly, and then to push for action, and then to have like very little comeback, and then for it to just drop and fade away. So on an emotional level, I had my home like terrorized. To actually have something in your front garden scratched and etched and later set alight, and then having no repercussions afterwards. And I think that it was the lack of repercussions that it was more fearful.
I'm Teresa. I'm just your average traveller woman that went on to get married and had kids. I married very young, wasn't forced to, but wasn't by choice either. I knew I was making a mistake, but still went ahead with it. I've always known I was gay, but I couldn't accept it. But I mean, as time went by, I learned to accept it, but I wasn't, and I'm still not ready to come out for fear what the family would think of me, you know. I know it's hard for anyone to come out to their family, but for a traveller, it's even harder. It's not just the family who finds out, but it's the whole traveller community. And travellers can be harsh at times and sometimes just doesn't understand. I'm still married to a man, but living a lie. I wake up every morning knowing I'm going through the day living a lie. I go out to family weddings and gatherings knowing I'm living a lie. I hope maybe one day I won't have to live a lie anymore. For now, and until I'm ready to come out, I have to protect myself and my kids until I have the courage to move away from here without my family knowing where I am. When that day comes, I'll finally be able to be me.
Hi, I'm Darren. Well, being a gay traveller was difficult at the start because I thought I'd be disowned and I thought my family would kick me out and whatnot and could do with me. When I was 18, I started realising that I was gay, and I just turned 19. I was looking around and I seen all other gay people being happy and being themselves, and I was stuck in the closet and I couldn't be myself. I couldn't take it anymore and I took an overdose. My mother found me. I landed in hospital over the overdose. They were asking the reason why I was did it, and I was like, oh, it's just I'm depressed. So then I was seeing counsellors for the 4 weeks and psychiatric doctors, and they were asking me what was my reason, and I was saying nothing as well. I wouldn't explain to them. So 4 weeks after my first overdose, I had a relapse and I took another one. My sister found me in my room and they brought me over to Portlaoise psychiatric unit. So when I landed there, I was 4 hours waiting to see a psychiatric doctor. When he came out, he was talking to me and he was like, why did you try and take your own life twice? So I sat down and I explained to the doctor that I was a gay traveller and explained to him, and he was like, well, I'm behind you 100% if you want me to help you with your family to talk about it. So I said no. So then a couple of months on, my uncle passed away of suicide as well. Then I was like, no, I can't be living a lie anymore. Suicide is getting very common and I don't want to take my own life. I want to live my life. In October 2014, I was at home and I said, right, feck this, I'm going to Dublin and I'm going out. So I went to Dublin and I was sitting in the George when I got a tip on the shoulder by one of my own cousins that's actually out of the closet. So I nearly died. I was like, oh my God, what the heck is going on here? And he was like, oh, hello. He said, Aaron, he said, I see you're in the George, what are you doing here? So I got all hot and bothered and I was like, oh, I'm here with friends. And he was like, no, you're gay, you're not in here for a reason. So then I was so worried and I was so nervous and I was terrified and I felt so sick. So then Saturday night, I got the bus down to my aunt's at 2:30 in the morning. And she's like, oh my God, what's going on? Is everything okay? I was like, yeah, I'm just drunk. So on the 5th of October on the Sunday, I woke up and I was crying all that day. And I was texting my sister that evening and was trying to give her messages that saying I was gay. I sent her about 20 messages. So she texted me then. She was like, are you trying to say you're gay? And I said, what if I was? Got no message back for half an hour. That's when the heart sank and the tears came. So then my mum rang me and she's like, hello, son. She goes, I'm after getting the news. The month leading up to that, I was worried that I was going to be disowned. Nowhere to go, nowhere to turn. Everyone had fallen out with me. At one stage, I felt suicidal again. And I thought, that was it. I'll have no family, have no friends. I've lost my culture. I've lost my my traveller community. And I was like, right, I have to get it done and over with. It's either going to go one way or another. It's either going to go down the bad road or the good road. So I landed back home at 9:30 the next morning. My mum and dad met me at the bus and we went out to the house and we sat down at the table. We were chit-chatting and my mum was telling me, did you ever have a boyfriend? Did you ever kiss a boy? And I was mortified. I was like, no, never had a boyfriend, never kissed a boy. And I was actually meeting a guy at the time and he was a traveller himself. So she's like, well, look, I accept you. My dad looked at me, he was like, it's the 21st century, son. We'll have to get over it. I accept you. But my mum, she was hurt straight away. Like, she was hurt for about 6 weeks. And she was thinking of grandkids and what was the other traveller community going to say. So she didn't know how to break the news to her family. So she rang her sister and she said, Darren's after coming out that he's gay. And my aunt burst out crying. She was like, why didn't he tell me last night? I would have hugged him and I would have brought him out for dinner. Then she was like, oh, will you ring my parents? My mum was like, because they're so back, old fashioned. But my granny and granddad was like, oh, so what? He's our grandson. We still love him. But before I told him on the phone, I had a letter writ. And I was actually going to leave the letter on the table on the Monday morning, get up and leave the house while they were in town, leave the letter. And had on the letter, like, for an example, I was like, sorry, Mum and Dad, the son that you brought into this world is gay. There's nothing I can change about it. If you accept me, please call me. If you don't bother. So I came down the stairs and I showed my mum the letter. And she was like, she just looked at it and burst out in tears. She was so hurt that I had to write a letter to come out and say it. For me, I'm very, very religious. So at the start, I didn't want to hurt Our Lady. I wouldn't go into the church because I felt like I was walking into God's home and I was hurting him. I actually took a trip to Knock. There was a big, the big Our Lady. I sat in front of that and I cried. I was like, please, Our Lady, forgive me. But now, like, I look at it, God made me who I am today and he wanted me to be gay, so I'm proud of it. The referendum did nothing, absolutely nothing for me. Yeah, I'd love to be married, but to me, like, it didn't really do nothing for me. We're still not allowed to get married in a church. So, to be honest, it doesn't mean nothing to me. Like, I voted yes for the both of sides of it, but no, it still does nothing to me because I'd love to get married in the church where I was christened, first communion, confirmationed. Yeah, I was proud of it because, it, like, other gay people were happy and they were glad that they could get married or whatever, but no, To me, it did nothing. My dream is to get buried in a church, but that's never going to happen. Sometimes I get ashamed of myself around travellers. And I don't want to go back to the person I was a year ago, where I had to be manly and try to be, oh, this guy that I wasn't. It was like I was, back then I was living a lie. So I don't want to be living a lie while I'm out of the closet and everyone knows I'm gay. So yeah, I'd love if people start accepting it and let the person be who they are. You might go into a local pub and someone be like, oh, look at the queer. Or you might put a picture up on Facebook and have a little pose or whatever and be like, oh, what, you're like a woman, you're fucking this or whatever. Yeah, you do get hurtful stuff said here. You might be walking downtown and people will be like saying smart remarks. I was out one night in the Panty bar and I was actually with another gay traveller and we were talking. And this guy came up and we were chatting away and he said, oh, are you from the traveller community? And we were like, yeah. And he was like, oh, are you not ashamed of who you are? We were like, no, why? He was like, oh, well, you should be ashamed of yourselves, especially coming from the traveller community, this, that and the other. And I was like, look, mate, never judge a book by its cover. But you do have the negative side in the traveller community as well. Like, a couple of weeks ago, I was at a do. I was out dancing. And this guy came up and he was like, hey, queer, why are you doing dancing like that on the floor? And I said, here, listen up, mate. It's my life, my body. I do what I want. Sit down for yourself. And he was like, what? I was like, sit down. It's not going to do with you what way I dance. I was like, is it because you can't come out of the closet and you're married? And he just looked at me and he was gobsmacked. He just turned his back and walked away. But yeah, you do get a lot in the hassle in the traffic community and the set community. You get it from both sides. Like, you get them saying names and etc. And they'll be trying to bully you over it. And they'll be texting you on Facebook saying, I'm threatening you, I'm going to break your back. And you should be bet with a whip, or you should be bet with a belt, or you should get a wrap for a car, and oh, you should be dead, or your mother should disown you, your mother and father should be ashamed of who they are, you should be kicked asunder. And you're like, what the heck? Get a life. It can get hurtful. Two set of lads try to bully me for being gay, for being a gay traveller, and to try to beat me up. One of my own cousins I met in Dublin City Centre, I turned around and said hello to him. And he turned back and said, don't talk to me, you gay cunt. And I just went, what? And he said, don't talk to me, I'm ashamed of you. And that was hurtful. I went home and I cried and I stood in my room for the whole day and wouldn't come out. And my mum was like, come out, look, you are who you are. So don't be scared of it. Like, but like at the end of the day, I was like, right, yeah, mum, you are right. Get out there and don't mind anyone else. Some straight men are scared of gay people because, for an example, before I came out of the closet, about a year before I came out, I was always like, oh, look at the queers. Oh, get away from me. I was trying to be someone that I wasn't. There's a lot of gay travellers out there that can't come out of the closet for the simple fact is their families are so old-fashioned and they're so stuck back in the Stone Age and they have to get married and have kids and they're living a lie and then some of them are getting up and running away and leaving their wives. And then it's not fair on their wives either because, like, their wives want to marry them and spend the rest of their life with them. But some of the husbands don't want that because they're gay. So not only is he ruining his own life, he's ruining his kids' life and his wife's life. Nowadays, travellers need to start waking up and smelling the coffee and get used to the 21st century because there's too much suicide in the traveller community at this day. Gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. There's a lot of things out there that they're hiding. You have to accept yourself to know who you are. Get out and live your life. Because suicide is getting more common and common. And I know that myself because I tried it twice. And it's a horrible experience. There is help out there if you seek it. There is people out there that will love you for who you are. So the settler community always has like a gay person around them. But in the traveller community, you don't really see much gay people. Their belief is you get married at 16, 17 onwards and you marry a girl and have a family. You don't marry your same sex. To them, that is disgusting and disgraceful. But, like, it's getting more common. Of 135 of them is actually getting used to it. But we'll get there eventually. We will, if we can get more help for the gay travellers. Gay travellers need to get more help because we are all equal on this earth. It's like someone coming up to a gay person saying, you're queer. That is a heartful name, or a faggot. Or it's the same as going to a traveller, you're a knacker. It's heartful. Like, travellers have a lot of talent and everything, and they're hiding it because they're ashamed. Nobody talks good about the traveller culture, right? You do have the good and you do have the bad. It's like the settler community, you have the good and you have the bad. Yes, some travellers do wrong, but not all the travellers do wrong. You can't paint them all with the one brush. So half of us are ashamed to say our second name. Half of us are ashamed to say who we are. If we show our talent, what TV show, what documentary you'd want to see our talent on it? None of them. I was actually chatting a lad for about six, 7 weeks before I met him. And we were on the phone chatting. And that's the way travellers do, to chat on the phone and get to know each other over the phone. And then after about 2 months, they'll go on a date and whatever. After about 6, 7 weeks, he was talking about travellers. And I said, well, I'm a traveller myself. I'm from the traveller community. And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah, I said, I'm a traveller. He was like, sorry, mate. Me and my family don't talk to knackers. I had the phone to my ear and the phone just fell out of my hand and hit the floor, and the back of my phone fell off, the battery fell out of my phone. My mum thought Darren's after taking an epileptic fit in the room. So my mum came up and was like, oh, is everything all right? And I just burst out in tears. He didn't want to talk to me because of her being a traveller. People need to stop with the racism. It's like going to an African person and calling them a racist name. They don't like that either. We're all equal on this earth. We all have different cultures. So we all need to be there to help each other out and be there for one another. If I could send a message back to myself when I was 16 years of age, I would have said, stop having girlfriends and get out and start meeting lads. Because now my family accept it, and they would have accepted it back then as well. So basically, I had girlfriends. I was actually getting married myself. I was getting married at 15 now. This is a good one. I was getting married at 15, and her family didn't want it, and mine didn't want it. So the two of us got up and ran away together. So no hotel or B&B would take us in because we were so young. But we ended up staying in the Phoenix Park in a tent for 2 days. It was just, oh my God, it was funny of all stories. So I rang my mum and said, Mum, I said, I'm after running away with a girl. So then we got engaged. And we were with each other a year and a half. And she ended up cheating on me with a girl. And I was like, no way. This could not have happened to me. I was like, no, this can't be true. I was like, no. I was giving out. I was like, you gay bitch. And this, that, and the other. I was lost the head over it. So then when I was 16, I started looking at men in a different way. And I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? I'd see a man walking down the street and I'm like, oh, he's good looking. But I'd be saying it in my head so no one else would hear me. She's a lesbian today, the girl I was marrying, and I'm gay today, so we're best friends now, actually. Well, the best moment and the proudest moment that brought tears was the moment that I came out. That's a moment I'll never forget. It's actually the funny part. Before I came out of the closet, I was always called queer and faggot and gay this and gay that. And you know what? I actually gained more friends when I came out of the closet. When I broke the news, obviously I put it up on Facebook and I got, I think it was 700 likes and over like 400 comments. Oh, congratulations, we're all behind you. Do you need anything? Do you need money? What do you need? And we're all behind you. And I was just like, oh, whoa. I wasn't expecting all this support. The best moment was at Christmas. The presents was shameful. My grandmother, she's 71. She said to me at Christmas, oh, I have a present for you. So I was like, right, okay. Because my grandmother, she's up for anything. So I opened the present bag and this was wrapped up. There was a tong and a black whip. So she was like, oh, now you can use that in the bedroom. And I was like, oh my God, granny, please. Like, she's 71 years of age, mortified. That was a moment I won't forget. And then my birthday, my mum got me a cake, but it was in the shape of a penis. And she had my mouth, like there was a picture of me with my mouth opened, and she got it at the top of the penis where my mouth was over the penis cake. So that was another moment I never forget. It was so embarrassing. She brought it into me and there's like all white ice and everything. I was like, oh no, ma'am. I was like, no, this can't be true. Like, and all my cousins were in the house and she had like the 20 on it. So that was another good moment. The best moment of it all up to right now is meeting new people, meeting new gay people, getting to know the gay scene, the whole gay thing from the day one since I came out has been a great experience. Yeah, I've met a few bad patches along the way, but I've experienced a lot of stuff that I thought I'd never experience in my life. I went to the first gay pride this year in June in Dublin, and it was amazing. Well, I was all excited. I was planning my day for 3 months, getting my clothes sorted and getting meeting texts and friends and sorting everything out. My mom said to me, "You think it was a wedding that's going on the way you're planning it?" I was that excited and I was that nervous. I had to cool my nerves. I went actually on the drink at 9:30 on the Saturday morning. So I went out to my cousin's, landed at his at 11 o'clock, and I needed to iron my clothes. And I'll never forget it. I went to iron my clothes and I fell on top of the iron board and broke it with excitement. I've never seen nothing like the parade. The parade was amazing from start to finish. I love every bit of it. I met up with great friends, and the whole day was the best day of my life. It was a good day to me because it was like my day. It was like a wedding day to me. It was like my day. I was proud of who I was, and I was sharing myself with everyone else. That it was amazing. I'm proud of who I am. Like I said to my mom when I came out, from this moment on, nothing and no one's going to bring me down.
Prejudice and Pride was produced by Maurice Kelleher and Sean O'Boyle and was supported by the Mary Rafferty Journalism Fund. Information and support for the issues raised in this programme can be found at Exchange House, the National Travellers Service, LGBT PAVI Online and Peer Support Group, the National LGBT Helpline, and the Samaritans.